These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. I hope your boots will walk away on this Walk Away Wednesday, too. Yeah, this is Terry Wilson, the hippie freak of the South, coming at you with the next episode of Free to Just Be. And of course, today is our Walk Away Wednesday episode. And I hope you are enjoying this podcast, which is releasing and dissolving those pesky matrix attachments. So humanity, you and I can take our power back. And if my voice finds you in great health with vibrant energy today, I ask you to take that energy and get your pointer finger out and just go to the like button on whatever platform you are listening on, your phone or on your laptop or on your home computer. And let's start rising up the Free to Just Be podcast so that other people can get on board. And the sooner we take our power back, we can then take our planet back, folks. Wouldn't that be groovy? All right, well, today on Walk Away Wednesday, I want to talk about walking away from all the stealing that has been happening in our lives. Stealing? What do you mean, stealing, hippie? Well, we have always unconsciously had a competition going on. All right, I want you to picture, all right, I'm going to use the example of when I was a kid growing up. I was the youngest of six kids, and back in those days, we would sit around a table all together at once and have a meal. And at the hilt of my young years, not only did we have six children, but we had two parents, and we had a grandpa and a grandma. So we had 10 people around the table. Now, if you can picture that scenario in your mind, there's two things that have to occur. You have to be very quick at getting the food, especially if it's a family style meal. And the second thing is, you must talk a little louder in order to be heard. Have you got that picture in your mind? Let me give you another picture. You are now in your later years, like the hippie freak, and you haven't been around children in some time. Your children are all grown, and it's been a real peaceful existence. And now you have grandkids, and you're always so happy to see them. But if you're around a 2, 3, 4-year-old, any age child, and you haven't been in a long time, what is the first thing you notice when they leave? Whew, man, I'm exhausted. This is the type of stealing we're going to focus on today. It is the unconscious robbing of each other's energy. Because you see, we humans have always sought to increase our personal energy. And according to James Redfield, in his awesome book, The Celestine Prophecy, the only manner we have known to get this personal energy is to seek it and psychologically steal it from others, which is literally the unconscious competition that underlies all human conflict in the world. And it is definitely something that, well, before we walk away from it, we have to understand what exactly is going on. And it is truly, truly going on. And then once we understand what it is, then we have a better grasp on how to deal with it. So we all have intrinsic energy in us. That's the chi. And many of us are unconscious of it, that we have the power inside us. We have talked about this, you know, so many times. It's like the focus of the hippie freak's whole Free to Just Be podcast. that we do have the power and we do have the ability and all the answers are within us, but we have forgotten. It has been covered up. So we come onto the planet, and literally what happens is we have to realize that back when we were wee babies, we began our quest to get our needs met. And you know, an infant cries and mom or dad pick them up and they're fed or they're changed or they're comforted. And a baby learns right quick that doing what gets the attention. Wah, wah, wah. All right, so that is the first seeking of the energy that we need. And the energy, ultimately, you know, we need love, unconditional love. We need acceptance. We need acknowledgement. All of those things are energy, because our thoughts, our emotions, everything has a frequency and an energy. And as we grow up, we jump forward to the scene around the dining room table, and you're in a large family, and all these people are talking. Well, how can somebody that is so young get attention? Well, you can scream and then get shut down by your parent telling you, you know, use your inside voice. You can say something that gets all the attention on you, something off the cuff, something, a really great way to get all the attention on you when you're a kid, and every child tries this, is all of a sudden they drop a curse word. You want to talk about a head swiveling toward that 5 or 6 year old child. Because we want to be acknowledged. We want to feel that wonderful energy that we felt when we were a baby, that comforting energy, that all-encompassing energy, the energy of unconditional love and safety and nurturement, which, by the way, we remember very clearly from our Creator, when everything in a different dimension was full of bliss and security and joy and happiness, because we were with our Creator. We didn't have to buy for any of it. It was freely given. And if a baby comes into the world and their parents are of any worth, they are going to also offer that baby unconditional love. But as that child begins to grow, it's not that easy. Distractions are there, and we learn at a very young age what it is that we have to do to gather that energy again. So our way of controlling situations and people, and in order to get that good energy that we want coming to us, what we do is we revert back to the ways we learned how to do it in our family of origin, and that's how we begin siphoning energy from others. So let's go with that part of the stealing aspect. All right, it's very, very easy to point the finger, but we're gonna deal with the fact that everybody wants to have energy. And here's a good example that you'll also understand. And it's a perfect example of exactly what I'm talking about here, right here in real time. So here's a quote by none other than Joel Osteen. And it's listed as a quote from him. And this is what the quote says. Don't allow negative people to steal your joy. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. But what my brother Joel didn't realize was when he allowed people to say that that was his quote, he was literally stealing from the Word of God. Why didn't he just say, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. No, he took that scripture and flipped it around. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. But it's the same thing. Because you see, Joel Osteen wanted the credit, wanted the allocate, wanted people to say, wow, you know what Joel Osteen said? He said that when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. When the tragic part about this is, all he had to do is give credit where credit was due. And might I add that the Word of God is far more powerful than anything that comes out of our mouths, all right? But that is exactly how easy and how unconsciously we try to take energy from those around us. And, you know, all right, so we talk about kids. Well, kids have so much energy because they siphon it out of their parents like midget gasoline thieves. I love that quote. It's not quoted to anybody, but it is really true. And if you've ever been around, if you ever worked with children, I worked in daycare for a lot of years and was around a lot of preschoolers. And there were children that came through the daycares that I operated that were from very sketchy homes. There were only two that I actually had to report because there were definite signs of actual evidence of abuse. So just picture a child from an abusive or neglectful home. You will find that if you're around a child that is not getting the attention that they need in order to become a stable and grounded and a person that grows up with confidence and self-love, and those children are the ones that are given the undivided attention that your parents or your caregivers or your loved ones around you should be giving you. And when a child doesn't get it, that is exactly what occurs. Now, I've talked to you about being depleted when my four-year-old GB leaves. And knowing that there are gaps in her life where she isn't getting the attention she needs, I rapidly recognized what was happening. At first, the first couple, three times, I just wrote it off that I'm, you know, an old hippie freak and she's a little girl. But then I started actually analyzing, you know, what was going on. And she was actually pulling on my energy. She was wanting my joy and my happy and my comfort. And now we have healthy exchanges. And we're going to talk about how you can do that as well. But we have to learn to not only recognize when our energy is being targeted, but we also have to recognize, and this is the part, you know, it's so easy. All right, let's flip the coin for a minute, because I think it's going to be easier for us to understand and accept the negative side of it. All right? Energy vampires. We're all very quick to point them out. Robin Sharma says, say goodbye to the energy vampires in your life, the negative souls who steal your enthusiasm. Okay, so we're really quick to say, oh, well, you know, you have to be careful of the people that, you know, are sucking your energy and causing you all this stress and drama and, all right, but it's a lot harder to recognize that you're the one siphoning the energy, isn't it? Right? Okay, so now let's look at another one about that. Don't let negative people steal your energy just because they have lost theirs. So now we're, you know, and it took me quite a while to get away from the accusatory, there's energy vampires and they're after you. All right, so now at least this one is saying, don't let these people steal your energy just because they lost theirs. So now there's a recognition that maybe there's this exchange of energy. There's this competition. And you tell me that that doesn't occur. I was with three beautiful teenagers yesterday. And two of them have been pretty much lifelong friends since elementary school. One is almost there, about the same amount of time, but there wasn't the consistency in the relationship with the other two. The other teen was kind of an in and out of the group type of teen. You know, she'd hang with them for a while and then she'd disappear and so on. So what I watched was the dynamic of exactly what I'm talking about right around my kitchen table. As, you know, the hippie freak always asked her kids when they were growing up, now my grandbabies, and then in the case of these three teens around my table yesterday, I was asking the same question. What's your fluff? Or, you know, do you have any fluff and tea? In other words, what is God doing in your life? I also ask that very frequently. And then it begins, kind of like the exchange of energy, the bantering. So there's three people. I am the observer and I am the listener. And they're all supposed to be giving me a little dose of what's been going on since the last time we were together. And what occurred was just exactly what we're discussing today. So first, one of those teens was my granddaughter, and she was talking about what was going on in her world. And then her lifelong friend chimed in. But then the third party began to talk. And she began to talk a little louder. And she was engaging the hippie freak of the South. And the hippie freak of the South was really listening. And I watched the friend of my granddaughter vie for that. It was almost like internally, unconsciously, without even realizing she was doing it, she felt that threat. Well, you know, Miss Terry's been in my life almost as long as my friend has been, and she's been in, and she's listened to me, and now she's listening to her, and what did she do? She raised her voice, and then the third friend raised her voice until the hippie freak had to say, all right, hold on a second. I've already heard from you, Ayla, my granddaughter, and I've heard from you over here on my right, but I haven't heard from this new friend that you've brought over. Let's give her the floor. And I saw the shoulders go down, and they're like, all right. And that was innocent. There was nothing malicious about it. But you see, internally, whether we recognize this yet or not, we are replaying over and over and over again our very own traumas. If we got cut off as children, and I would say that it's a very rare child that has not had communication issues, has not felt that childhood emotional neglect, because now that program is rampant and it has been operating for at least three decades, okay? So I would say that most of us, especially in the Western world, have definitely been privy to the fact that somebody around you is going to want to feel better about themselves. And the way to do that often is being heard, or feeling like the words that are coming out of your mouth are somehow better than the other person. Why do you think there are so many, what would we call them, know-it-alls? Or, you know, oh, they, you know, she just wants to say something about everything. You know, she just thinks she knows everything. Well, maybe She had all these great ideas as a child and was completely squelched. And so now she has all this information and she wants to share because she wants to be told somewhere in her energetic field that she's okay too. So now, as you're starting to get a grasp on the fact that we all do it, but we're doing it unconsciously because somewhere along our journey, our needs did not get met. Well, what about, like what Steve Atchison says, sometimes people may anger you, but realize that they are stealing. That is when we have to realize they're stealing our energy. Anger is a big one. Anger, what does that do? Oh my gosh. You can be having a great conversation and maybe things aren't going your way. And if you get pissed off and start raising your voice and having an attitude, guess what? All the attention turns to you. So now, as I'm painting these pictures, now you can see and you can understand that this is happening all around us. So now what's going to happen after hearing this show, you're going to begin to see it. You are going to be able to see it everywhere you turn. All right, so let's look at types of energy theft for a moment. All right, there are, oh, and this is a beautiful, beautiful way of showing what James Redfield in the book, The Celestine Prophecy, which I have mentioned at least a half a dozen times. If you want to begin to know what your childhood dramas were, the things that are very common in every person's life, that book is an incredible way of getting in touch with us, in touch with that. Let me read this quote out of his book. Each of us must go back into our past, back into our early family life, and see how these habits were formed. What habits? Well, your way of controlling people and situations. James goes on and says, in order to get energy coming your way, you create a drama in your mind during which you withdraw. And you look, well, actually, there's all different methods. And he goes on to explain exactly what we're going to talk about now. And this is literally, and this particular coaching place, again, stole the energetic thoughts of James Redfield, because this is exactly in his book. The types of energy theft are the intimidator, and that those are people who take the energy by threat. They force people to pay attention by using fear. People that are aloof, they get energy by acting coy and hard to get so that people try to draw them out. They often act clueless. They tell the same stories over and over again, even if you've heard them, because they're trying to get people to engage with them. They want to have their energy bucket filled up. What about the interrogator? They steal energy by judging and questioning others. They make others feel inferior by finding faults in others and ripping apart their ideas. And then poor me, which is a very prevalent one in today's society as well. They take energy by making other people feel guilty. They complain about their problems and rarely state solutions. They don't want solutions for their problems because, you see, when they're airing their problems, then people are like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Is there anything I can do? And there you go. There's that energy exchange. So I can't tell you again how relevant and life-changing this book of fiction, which is also so cool, because how many people are going to pick up a book that just explains about energy robbers? No, this is all laid out in a very intriguing, mysterious adventure book. And Each one of these types of energy thieves will be described. And he goes on to describe in that book how ultimately, as a child develops, their parents are going to fit into one of these four types of energy thieves. They're either going to be an intimidator, a poor me, an aloof, or an interrogator. And once you identify which one of these your parents were, then you can begin to understand how you came up with your method of siphoning energy from others. And this is a biggie. This is a biggie because gone are the days, folks, of not doing the work ourselves. Gone are the days of the scapegoatism that is so prevalent. Gone are the days of no longer accepting responsibility. We are in charge and we need to understand what's going on. So we need to start to pay attention around people when our energy increases and when our energy flatlines and goes in the basement. Because that is divinity, that is the universe around us giving you a hint of who you should embrace or stray from. So it would be very easier to say, well, I'm just going to lose all the energy vampires in my life. Well, if you do that unbalanced approach, you might find yourself completely alone. And you might be completely alone because in the very big picture of things, you might be the energy vampire. And you're dropping all these people, you know, pointing and accusing, well, they're an energy vampire and they're an energy vampire. And guess what? As you're standing there talking over other people, ooh, oh, oh, yes, this is, yeah. Now, you've heard me on and off all year. Let me tell you, one of my biggest goals and intentions, my personal goals and intentions this year, is using my mouth less and my ears more when it comes to my husband and my children and grandchildren. Because I have definitely identified myself. And I very, very much did not feel heard. And I have to lose that desire to get people to listen to me. Do you understand? And it's hard to admit, wow, you know, wow. How many times have I said that my mom or my cousin or, you know, they're a mess. They're this. They're that. I can't even hardly stand. You know, all they want to do is argue. Well, are we giving them fuel to argue about? Anytime you're in an exchange where it feels like a competition, energy vying is happening. So pay attention around you this week. Notice it. And then you can intelligently decide that you don't want to do that any longer. So going back to Steve Addison's quote, sometimes people may anger you. But now, with a little of this background, and I hope just this minor little discussion, because I've spent hours researching this very topic. And I honestly can tell you that really, what really helped me to get it was, again, none other than James Redfield's Celestine Prophecy. It is probably why it's one of the top 10 books ever sold. Because it gets people in touch with who they are, why they are the way they are, and then how to stop being that way. Isn't that what we all want? We all want to know how to get back to who we are and stop the things that are not giving any value in our life anymore, correct? So Let's talk a little bit about how we also need to stop giving our energy away. Now, we may have now, in the first part of this show, discovered that, wow, maybe I am an energy vampire. Holy crap. Wow. Yeah, I know how you feel. You know how I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that in my marriage I have been an energy vampire? Because I have really begun the prerequisites of working my intention. And it's going to take me a while because I've had this habit for years. I do talk too much. I definitely talk too much. And I am with a man who does not communicate a whole lot. My husband is the aloof, and I am the interrogator. My dad was an interrogator. And guess what? I, even as a child, didn't want to stand for it, so I questioned everything, and it got me in trouble. But it also taught me to be the interrogator. When somebody doesn't agree with me, then I'm going to be asking them questions or what have you. And what does that do? That shuts people down. That, quote-unquote, intimidates a lot of people. Most people are not big on communications. Most people are like, they would rather stay in the background. They'd rather be a wallflower. Don't bring any attention to me because you probably won't like who I am. Which, these are all lies. These are all programs. And these are all things that we have to work through. And as you well know, if you've been a follower of mine, mine definitely came from that perception that I was not heard as a child. So therefore, I'm going to interrupt. I am going to talk over. I'm not going to let you get a word in edgewise. And for years, I have been told that. And for years, I've ignored it. And the last couple of years, I've been really observing myself. And now I'm to the place where, wow, this is not a good thing. This is a character flaw, Terry. And you cannot go into another year without taking conscious steps to change it. So I began to do that consciously. And, well, it's funny. I told my husband, I've been telling him for about 3 weeks. And yeah, babe, you know, because we're praying and seeking for intentions for, you know, our finances, our family. You know, we come together and do some of our goal setting together. So we've been kind of conversating on and off about that, dropping things in each other's hoppers to think about and pray about. And then in the next week or so, we're going to solidify them. And normally I would have already been done, but I've been really taking a lot of extra care with this process. So I told him, you know, one of my personal intentions, he's like, no, what's that? I said, I'm going to talk less and listen to you more. And he looked at me and he says, when is that? When are you starting? And I said, the first of the year. And he said, oh. And I said, yeah, so I'm just preparing you. You know, you got 3 weeks. I'm probably going to glut out on talking to you. And he's like, great. But he knows that it is with sincerity and heartfeltness that I'm saying that, because the truth is, the truth is really hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? I mean, it really, really is painful to swallow some of the stuff that you discover about yourself. Well, what I've discovered is when I control myself, and why do you think the very last fruit of the Spirit in the Word of God is self-control? Why is there like whole chapters written about the tongue? Because it's pretty dang hard for people to do it. And I literally have felt like, and I'm not talking biting your tongue because you want to say something that you know you shouldn't. No, I'm just talking about biting my tongue because I just want to keep wagging it. And, you know, I've explained to my husband over the years, well, it's because I've been home, you know, first it was back in the day when kids were younger. I've been home with kids all day and I want to talk to an adult. How many moms have said that? And how many dads are like, dude, I just walked through the door. Well, I'm sorry, you just walked through the door. Well, I've been in this prison with these kids, and I just need some adult conversation. You get my drift. So it's very difficult to control thyself. But I've been making different little ways that in my household, so when he first comes home, I don't just sit down at the table with him, which is what I used to do. I continue doing, you know, I greet him, give him a hug, but I continue doing what I was doing. And if I was just waiting for him, then I will begin to do some kind of a task. I do a task, a physical, I'm moving energy, I'm being active to keep me engaged from speaking. And when I give my husband that time to decompress, to take off his work hat and put on the husband hat, to just be for a little while, one of his habits that he's beginning to develop is shortly after he gets home, he walks out in the woods with the dogs. Oh, I cannot give higher praise for stopping on your way home and taking a walk, or getting out of your vehicle and walking around your yard before you come home. Being out in nature is huge. So I've recognized it, and I've begun to make conscious steps to stop doing it. So how do we give power? How are we the flip side of the stealing part? A. Ely says, stop giving people the power to steal your peace. It belongs to you and no one should be able to run away with it. Well, if you are a person who grew up and became an aloof, you're not going to vie for attention. You're just going to sit back, and ultimately, especially if you're in a group, if all these different people are up talking, then you're kind of like the happy camper, until, of course, one of these interrogator people realize, well, you haven't contributed anything, and turns and says, yeah, well, what about you? What do you think? And now you're on the freaking spot. So many of us, I can't speak for any of you, humanity, but I can give you the example of the days when my husband was angry and bitter when we first got together. And it literally was, and I did a show earlier in the year about walking on eggshells. There are many people in relationships, and there's a lot of what I call floating or static shit. And so there's an energetic force between them that has not been dealt with. Negative emotions, negative thoughts have an energy. And it's low, 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 and slow, and it's like walking through quicksand. And people who don't want to feel their spouses or their employers or whatever, they don't want to feel the wrath, or they don't want to feel anger or uncomfortability. When that person comes in like a whirlwind trying to get your attention, they just suck right up to it. And they let themselves get completely depleted. Now, I've done that in all four of my marriages. I am not proud, but I tell you, I have learned many, many, many things from my mistakes. And that's exactly what I would do. I would just say, oh, what's the matter? What can I do to help? I was the ultimate fixer. Well, let me tell you what that does to a person. It depletes you. It absolutely depletes you. So before any of us try to fix someone else's vibes, you know, man, he's just so depressed, or, you know, man, he's just so angry. And I just know that I can help him feel better. Well, what you need to know and what you need to guard against is, as you're fixing someone else's vibe, that you're not killing your own vibes in the process. And that's also what I did four times around. I denied who I was. I kept my own charat or my own light, my own wonderful, beautiful, perfect higher self under cover, under wraps, because all I cared about was being accepted and loved and given attention by these men in my life. And so I would give and give and give and give. And because givers are unfortunately, you know, people say, well, you've seen people do the L sign, you know, L for loser. Well, there should be a G on a lot of people's backs, chest, foreheads, and the back of their heads. Because I tell you what, those that give and give and give, and I've stated before that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that one of my spiritual gifts is mercy. And mercy without discernment, mercy with someone who is unconscious and not awake and aware of what is going on energetically, emotionally, you know, spiritually, is exactly what happened to me for those, you know, I will say 3 3/4 of the marriages, because my marriage has taken such an incredibly awesome turn since I began seriously pursuing Tai Chi Gong, pursuing my own peace, pursuing the building up of my own energetic field. Imagine that. I worked on myself and magically my marriage is getting better. Well, guess what? It takes two to have conflict in any kind of relationship, be it a marriage, a parent-child situation, an employee or employer, friends, anybody. And when you begin to recognize that maybe you had a part, then things just all of a sudden start falling into place. And so now my husband and I, you know, he's aware of this whole concept. I've read part of the books to him. He understands what's happening. And so now we're actually pointing it out to each other. And it's amazing when you get the knowledge and the spiritual truth that you need in your life, you stop killing your own energetic field. You become aware of when somebody is trying to siphon your energy, and you understand when it's okay to, in a balanced way, have an exchange where it's not threatening to the other, so that both people can feel the same amount of energy. It is possible. And I am definitely, oh my goodness, I am so far from the perfection of that. I have just discovered and just have begun to work that type of plan. So I want to reiterate this to you again. Humans have always sought to increase our personal energy in the only manner we have ever known. And that is by seeking to psychologically steal it from others. An unconscious competition that underlies all human conflict in the world. We can take this straight up to wars. My weapons cachet is bigger than yours. I have the bigger power and I'm going to defeat you. And on and on and on. When they could just sit down and have a cup of coffee and work it out. Oh no, that would make me look weak. So therefore, you see how easy it just continues to just skyrocket everywhere. Well, what we have to remember, and this is the biggie, because you see, energy doesn't come to us so much from the things or the people around us. Although, you know, we can directly absorb energy from plants and from certain energetic portal sites, for example, Machu Picchu and places in Sedona, and of course, Mount Kailash right now, especially since the portal of Shiva just opened. Yes, we can definitely get energy that way. And we can also get it the ways we were just talking about it, negatively. But ultimately, sacred energy, intrinsic energy, comes from our connection to the divine inside us. And we have it all inside of us. Why do you think darkness has so incredibly and so consistently tried to keep our power covered up? Because we have an unending resource right within us if we would just recognize it. So with those thought processes stirred up in you, I want you to keep in mind that an energy vampire can never steal energy from you unless you are consciously or unconsciously permitting them to. So now it is definitely time to be extremely and consciously the observer. And observe when, all right, here's a really good example, and many of us will relate to this. If you're in a conversation with somebody, and all you are thinking about is what you're going to say, then you are not fully engaged. You are unconsciously vying for their energy. You are thinking in your head, if I say this, they're going to think I'm so cool, and then I'm going to be able to capture the conversation, and then you see how it goes. And we are unconscious of that. So now keep your spirit, your heart, your mind, and your emotions open. And you're going to recognize this. Hopefully, you're going to recognize when you're doing it first. And what happens if you realize you're talking over your husband, you're talking down to your children, you've noticed it, okay? And maybe you've noticed it and then all of a sudden you get quiet and you kind of step out of the conversation or what have you. But I tell you, if you really want to have some power behind your conscious effort to want to change, if you are consciously making daily strides to become closer to the real, free to just be that you are, free to be your sovereign self in every way, shape, or form, no matter who's around, that you can be comfortable in your skin, you can be who you are. If you are really working towards that, when you recognize that you are stealing energy from somebody and you want to really powerfully accelerate to another level of understanding, then admit it to that person. Now, obviously, you know, it would have to be maybe somebody that you love. You have to pick and choose your battles, folks. But to diffuse an energy siphoning right when it's happening, to say, hey, Roger, my husband, man, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. I guess I just really wanted to be heard. I'm sorry. What were you saying again? His face was like, he looked at me, he's like, what? Because never before in our relationship had I ever admitted to the fact. I have denied and resisted. You know, you always talk over us and that's how I viewed it. It was just like, whatever, just because you don't communicate, you know, don't get on my case because you can't. Well, who was in the upper hand in that conversation? Uh-huh. And I wonder why my husband never had a whole lot to say. Because he got tired of the energetic competition, and I'd always end up winning. So therefore, he just shut down and just said, F it, I'm not going to say a word. And imagine my surprise and delight after the kick in my stomach when I realized, holy crap, he's right. Now, we're about 75-25. And eventually, we're going to be a perfect figure eight at 50-50. Because now we're learning that we do have unconditional love for each other. So that means we are safe. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's abandoning. Nobody is belittling. But we will say, hey, babe, I just noticed that you did this. And a wise woman and a wise husband will pick and choose the timing on those revelations. You don't pull out a revelation like that in the middle of a heated exchange, because then you're just going to escalate it, and really, ultimately, the bottom line is, then you will be the energy siphoner right then. So, when you begin to show deep empathy toward others, their defensive energy goes down. A lot of energy goes into putting up those walls to keep us safe, don't they? And when we do that and the defensive walls come down, then positive energy replaces it. Now my husband's beginning to realize, wow, you know, if I start to say something, and he always used to say, you diverted my spirit. And really, ultimately, what he was saying was, you know, you robbed me. He'd say, you know, oh, no, not my spirit. He's, you know, you interrupted my flow. His flow of what? The flow of his energy. His energy was wanting to exchange with me. He might have wanted to get some of my energy. And now that we both know that it's safe, I don't need to rob from him. He doesn't need to rob from me. Now, it's becoming less and less, and now we're having more balanced exchanges. But you have to begin with that empathy, and you have to be able to put yourself in the back seat and recognize that you don't need anybody's energy. Your energy is all inside. You have an unending well of it. So if that doesn't make you want to get inside and clear up your channels, I don't know what would. Imagine not having to get energy from an energy drink, from your partner, from doing massive aerobic activity. Do you understand? It's always been inside an unending well of energy. And I want to close with Paul Pullman's quote. Leadership is not just about giving energy. Like, for example, right now I am expending my creative energy in trying to use my words to formulate them in such a way that I could pique your interest, stir your hopper, get your emotions involved, and I'm giving my energy out to do what? To help you, humanity, to unleash your own energy. So see, we have to learn that everything in life literally is a figure eight. Everything is balanced. You can't just continue to take. And then expect the person that you're taking from to finally just say, no, I can't do this anymore. Why do you think relationships end? Because there's an imbalance. There has to be a give and take. There has to be an exchange of that energy. And I am very grateful that my husband loves me enough that he waited 15 years for me to get the message about that. Oh, yeah. This show is like the Uber accountability thing for me. Because I cannot come before this mic and talk about authenticity and genuineness and not be so myself. I can't. So, on this Walk Away Wednesday, please begin to consider if you are indeed the energy vampire. Maybe you have a relationship somewhere in your quantum field that is strained, that is volatile, that is emotionally charged. Or maybe there's, it feels like there's no energy left in it at all. And maybe you are contemplating, well, why are you there? Before you do that, you need to look at every angle. And the very first angle you need to look at always and forevermore, it's yourself. You are the only one you can fix, humanity. And if you take these words and you begin to be the observer and you begin to play with getting real clear and clarified on giving and taking energy, all of your relationships will change. It's inevitable. So walk away from stealing and letting other people steal your energy. And I hope you have a wonder-filled Wednesday, or tomorrow. All right, no, this is, today is Wednesday. Wow. Yeah, I think the hippie freak needs to go get a drink of water and go take a walk. But I love you, humanity. I hope this has brought some real desire to seek out some of your own teachings on energy robbers. Maybe start with Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield. And this is the Hippie Freak of the South saying, peace out!